This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor super fan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
LeBron James getting candid on the Pat McAfee show. Welcome to our show, Maggie Perloff's show. So glad to have you, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. And one of the big reveals, a couple of them, that LeBron had in that interview, Pearl, which lasted over an hour, was his relationship with Michael Jordan, which he said is basically non-existent. He said it's fine. They don't talk, but he anticipates that he and Jordan are actually going to become good friends when LeBron eventually retires, because that's what happened between LeBron and Kobe.
Right.
So once he's like no longer, you know, well, LeBron said, no, when Jordan doesn't have to watch me running up and down the court wearing 23, then we can finally be friends. The other part was LeBron saying that he could play in any era. And I think he said this before, but it's really kind of touched a nerve with some people, because either, you know, you don't want to believe that LeBron could have withstood the physicality of the early 90s teams like the Bad Boy Pistons, the late 80s teams, or you think that, I don't know, that LeBron's game would not have translated in the 70s. I don't see it. I don't see how a 6'9", 240, 50-pound guy who does have skill like LeBron would not be able to play in any era. That doesn't make sense to me.
Well, I think you could make an argument that he'd have to play differently. I think that is, he would have, I agree with you, he definitely could have played it. He would have been a superstar in any era, but he would have had to approach it much differently. He would have had to get in a lot more fights. I don't think, has he ever gotten a fight?
I don't remember one.
Yeah.
Like on the court, brawl.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the eras, I think he's talking about the 80s and 90s. It was the big man era, and now it's the small man era.
Right.
So he's playing. I was actually just looking at this, right? The leading scorers in 1988 were all Karl Malone, Patrick Ewing, David Robinson, Hakeem. Now, right now, it's Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. You do have Giannis and Jokic, but you have Anthony Edwards and Jason Tatum, guys who are on the wing more. So it's a much different game. It used to be Karl Malone's league,
right?
And now it's Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's league. So LeBron, I think that's what people are talking about. But LeBron, obviously, is so big that he could have adjusted. I don't know if anyone, how can you make that argument?
Yeah, I think so too. And I think as much punishment as he would have taken in a different era, I think he also could have been doling it out. I mean, LeBron doesn't generally, to me, play angry. It doesn't seem like he plays angry, but I think he would have. If you're getting armbarred by Bill Laimbeer, it's going to make you angry. And I think that he would have had to find something, he would have displayed just a different kind of on-court demeanor than he has right now.
Yeah, except though, he's a guard, though. Would he have matched up? I'm not sure. Is he going to dole out punishment? He doesn't love going down. He's not a huge fan of posting up down low every time, probably. I don't think he still would have been a guard. He would have been closer to Magic, right?
Yeah, I mean, listen, Magic didn't play angry.
No, because he was on the perimeter. He didn't have to.
Right.
So that's a question. I think LeBron would have floated around, gotten away from Horn and those guys.
Yeah, well, that's what people are saying, right? It's like that he couldn't have played or he wouldn't have been successful in that era because teams would have been so physical with him. But he could have used his speed to blow by a lot of those guys, too.
Yeah, define successful. Like, are people saying he wouldn't be an all-star? I mean,
I think greatest of all, like, in the conversation for GOAT right there with MJ. I don't know. I don't see it. I think he still would have been as successful. I think he is that transcendent talent. LeBron also said that if Giannis was playing in the 70s, that he would score 200 points in a game because Giannis has these physical skills that we didn't see back then. You didn't see guys taking off from beyond the free throw line and dunking.
You saw Dr. J do that exact thing, but yeah.
With the type of size that Giannis has, Dr. J was not 6'11".
No. But, well, he was pretty tall.
He's pretty tall, but not 6'7". Like that.
Yeah, I just think that, yeah. By the way, I don't want to sound like Mad Dog. Mad Dog got really mad and said Dr. J was way better than Giannis on ESPN yesterday. I don't even really know about that. I feel like there were a lot of big men running around. Kareem played in the 70s.
But Kareem wasn't the type of player that Giannis is.
Yeah, I guess the 70s. But the 80s, isn't Karl Malone similar to Giannis?
I don't think Karl Malone was...
He's not quite as tall, but he runs the floor just like Giannis
did. But he wasn't taking off from the free... I don't remember Malone taking off from the free throw.
No, he wasn't as vertical as Giannis.
They were running the pick and roll.
Yeah, I mean, Karl Malone's the third leading scorer of all time. I think he compares very well to Giannis. Might be even higher on the all-time list of players. But, yeah, I don't know. Guys, yeah, Giannis would have been great, but could he have done the things that he's doing now? Would he be able to do the Euro step, for example? People, we talked about it before. We would have no idea it could travel automatically because we'd never seen it. Yeah, he would have been great, but by the way, he would not have played the same way. He would have been... Coaches would have said, you get down by the basket. There's no way you take the ball up the court. You weren't allowed to do that stuff.
I think that's the most important part of the conversation whenever people talk about these generational conversations, because it's like, well, Kareem couldn't play today because he couldn't shoot a three-pointer. I'm like, you don't think Kareem Abdul-Jabbar could have learned a three-point shot if he was taught how to shoot? He was a great free-throw shooter. He was a great 10-foot shooter. Like, the best players always find a way, right? Like, they have something special about them. Their hard work, their skill level.
Right.
So, like, yes, Giannis would not be dribbling like a point guard and bring the ball off the court, but you don't think he could have got a post game? Look at his footwork. Look at how athletic he is. Like,
it would have been
I think probably been on the money. It would be a different, he would look different. LeBron would play different. Giannis would play different, but they would still be great players.
I bet maybe EJ, you were in a different era, but I wasn't allowed to go outside. I was at 6'4", I was the big man.
Yeah.
Better or worse. There's no way if the coach saw me dribble, he's like, you better stop doing that. Now if you're 6'4", you're a point guard.
Well, I was the kind of kid that I was not very fast, but I was a really good shooter. And that was tough because it was like, stop shooting so many threes. Like,
Did the coach ever tell you to get down low or something like that?
No, that was short, so I didn't have to worry about that. But there was an aspect of, you shoot too many threes, like those are bad shots. And, like,
I feel completely changed.
Yeah, I feel like kids today, like, if you're a young kid and you're a shooter, like, this is a great time for you because everyone knows that, you know, threes are more than twos and the analytics in the game. So everyone's games will be entirely different based on the generation you play in.
So we asked you on X, do you think LeBron James could have been a superstar playing in the 1980s? And overwhelmingly, 65% of you are saying yes to 35% saying no. But really? We've had a lot of callers today who have thought differently, that no, it would have been the physicality.
They would have beat him up. Yeah. I mean, I think the question is, would he have been as dominant in the 70s and 80s as he is today? Maybe those guys take him out a little more. They took out Jordan for the first half of his career. They were really physical with him. Maybe it would have been harder. I can squint and see that. You're right, he could have doled out punishment, but he would have had to fight the bad boys. He literally would have had to throw fists with Bill Laimbeer.
And by the way, I mean, we talk about LeBron, the era he played in, and yes, we're talking about a lot of guys he played against now.
But he played in multiple eras.
Right, he was playing against the Pistons of basically 04, 05. Like, that team that beat up Kobe Bryant and Shaq that won the title, those are the teams he was trying to compete against to get to the championship. He played against the Spurs. Those were Bruce Bowen. Those were physical defensive teams. So LeBron has played so long.
Celtics?
That in some ways, like, I think he's kind of the wrong person to talk about with this, because he did play in a more physical NBA than today. Maybe not the 80s, but I mean, the 04 Pistons, you want to talk about? That's not a great defensive team. That's not a physical team. Of course they are.
But he didn't do anything against him.
I mean, scored 27 straight points and went to the finals.
One of his great moments against the Pistons.
Yeah.
Also, too, that Pistons team was built a lot differently than the Bad Boy Pistons team. They had Ben Wallace and Rashid were not necessarily the kind of bruisers that Mahorn. Like, Mahorn and Lambert just cheated.
You couldn't be that way anymore.
Right. But
yeah, Ben Wallace would block
every shot. You'd foul out in 5 seconds.
Yeah, Lambert and Mahorn never blocked anybody's shot. That was it was a totally different. That was Larry Brown
face.
Basketball.
Yeah.
That was a completely different style of Pistons team. Tayshaun Prince was this amazing defender. He would never been on the Bad Boy Pistons. Left. It'd be like, punch somebody. What are you doing here?
Yeah, they're not going to fight you, but they were physical, though. I mean, yeah. Ben Wallace looked like he should have been playing on the offensive line somewhere. I mean, you're just pure dealing with physicality, playing in the paint, dealing with someone's going to knock you down when you go to the, like, LeBron did deal with that.
See, I think this is what gives LeBron a lot of credibility, and I know some people love him and some people hate him, and you listen to this interview, you either find him charming and endearing or you find him insufferable. He's just that kind of guy. But like Tom Brady, who played in multiple eras, I think that he gets that his opinion on this holds a lot more weight because he has done it for 22 years. He has been part of multiple eras, and he has seen probably one of the biggest sea changes in the entire league. A lot like Brady, outside of the forward pass, you know, not being able to touch quarterbacks anymore has changed so much. Just like LeBron has gone through a shooting revolution in the league. So
also a physical. They started calling, especially watch a James Harden game. They started calling ticky-tack fouls. I don't know what year they changed the officiating way. So it got much less physical, and then they go back and forth. But by the way, LeBron is not the one who should be talking about this. Other people should be deciding LeBron's legacy. That is a weird quirk of LeBron that he gets involved in this debate.
Oh, that's the thing now, though. That's not just LeBron. That's LeBron. It's Michael Jordan put out his 10-part documentary.
Well, I know, but Michael Jordan did it more passively aggressively. He put out a gigantic. He didn't come out and say, I'm the GOAT. He said, I'm going to do a multi-million-dollar 10-part documentary. LeBron actually goes out and starts talking about his own legacy like he's an analyst, like he's analyzing any other player. That always struck me as weird.
Tom Brady does it. How many Tom Brady docs? Tom versus Time?
No, but does Tom actually give an interview where he ranks quarterbacks? And
I think Pearl's right on that.
Yeah. I don't know. Tom Brady
LeBron
definitely toots his own horn a lot, guys. A lot.
No,
dude.
But LeBron is very...
Tom Brady's never said, I'm the greatest quarterback of all time. He's never said that.
He doesn't need to. Right, and LeBron doesn't need to say that.
How many documentaries do you need on Tom Brady? Does he have to actually spell it out? He's saying it, guys.
He's saying
he cares more, that he's more... that he's more determined, that he made more sacrifices. Like, Tom's whole thing is about everything he did to stay in the game. You don't think that's...
LeBron is 3 feet away from doing a Bleacher Report gallery of the 10 greatest players, ranking himself number one. LeBron is so open about it. You just said it. LeBron is somebody you should listen to. When he says, I could have played in the 80s, we should listen to him. Let other people say that. That's like not LeBron's job.
Well, I think they are saying it. A couple other things from yesterday, because he did an hour-long sit-down. So they covered a lot of territory here on the Pat McAfee Show. One was about, his relationship with Michael Jordan, which, he said he thinks is going to be very good once he retires. And I agree with him on that. He also had some media beefs that he kind of fanned the flames on. Nothing got squashed yesterday, that's for sure. So his confrontation with Stephen A. Smith.
I am in no mood.
Let's hear cut four, Manny.
He's like on a Taylor Swift tour run right now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're watching it. Yeah. We're awesome. Mm-hmm.
It started off with, I didn't want to address it. I wasn't going to address it. But since the video came out, I feel the need to address it.
Yeah, it went viral. You wouldn't be talking about it.
Are you kidding me? If there's one person that couldn't wait to the video to drop so you could address it, it's your ass. Like, seriously.
Okay, more from LeBron on Stephen A. Said he missed the whole point of the confrontation, which was when Stephen A. was being critical of Bronny. Not just being critical of Bronny, but appealing to LeBron to stop Bronny, to take him out of the league because he's getting embarrassed, and that's what led to the confrontation.
He completely missed the whole point. The whole point. Never would I ever not allow people to talk about the sport, criticize players about what they do on the court. That is your job. But when you take it and you get personal with it, it's my job to not only protect my damn household, but protect the players.
Okay, so that was what LeBron was saying. The confrontation is because Stephen A. got too personal. And Perloff, I think you believe that LeBron should be not just mad at Stephen A. about this.
No, I don't think LeBron should be mad at anybody about this. I carry a mixed message. So he said, I'm protecting my own household, but I'm protecting the players. Who does he mean by that?
I think so. He goes on to tell the story about Joel Embiid, who there was a reporter in Philadelphia
About his brother,
who said that, like, you know, who basically said, "Are you actually living up to the legacy you said you wanted to leave for your brother, who tragically died as a 13-year-old?" And Embiid got very upset by that and confronted the reporter in the locker room. So I think that's what he said. Yeah. Now, that's a very extreme example of someone who obviously went over the line.
Yeah, hard to defend that. I think LeBron is parsing words about what Stephen A. said. I think Stephen A. insulted Bronny and LeBron, the whole situation, in a similar way to everybody else. I know Stephen A. took it a step farther and saying you're being a bad father, but I think people were killing LeBron for forcing this situation, and I don't know if Stephen A., what he was doing is any different. To me, that did not raise the level where LeBron should have. I thought he kind of physically threatened him, and I don't like that at all when a player who's 6'9", 260 is basically saying, stop talking or I'm going to beat you up. That's never really a good thing, and I don't think it was necessary at all.
So it's funny because LeBron did say that they didn't address that specific part, which, Pat McAfee, that could have been a good follow-up. Did you physically threaten? Did you mean to be physically intimidating?
Why did you have to ask? We saw it.
Well, here's LeBron saying he believes that the media has gotten too comfortable in taking personal attacks on players and how this wouldn't have flown. This wouldn't have been cool back in the days of Charles Oakley or Vernon Maxwell.
I think people in the media have gotten too comfortable, especially with our sport. It got too comfortable where, you know, back in the day, like, for sure, you would never bring up Charles Oakley's brother.
Yeah.
Charles Oakley will smack you through his brother. All right. Yeah. Mad Max. Like, his name was Mad Max for a reason. It wasn't because he picked you up 94 feet. It was because if you said something about Mad Max, like, He's gonna separate your jaw. And there was no repercussions from that.
Yeah, I mean, again.
But LeBron's almost saying that like it's a good thing.
Yeah, he's absolutely aspiring to that? I don't think that's not the good old days to me when a lot of people were very, sometimes players in the media still had very contentious relationships. And yeah, I mean, guys had less to lose back then.
Well, I understand it's a player's point of view, obviously, but I do think a critical media is a very important part of the league. This is my opinion. I know everyone doesn't agree with it. If you basically have softball interviews and cheerleaders, eventually people are going to get bored with the product and you're not going to get those $500 million contracts. So players, if anything, should embrace the controversy because it sells.
Yeah, I think that the players, the devil's advocate there is like why the players have a problem with inside the NBA and have a problem with Shaq and always clowning the league and being way too critical and almost going out of their way to be critical.
Yeah. I mean, why would anybody want to watch any other show besides Inside the NBA? The ESPN shows are terrible in comparison. As a fan, give me Inside the NBA all day long.
Play them if you want to.
Okay, so... Well, I mean, I get both sides of that because...
But as a fan, though, what's the other side? You want to see a sort of a promotional product?
No, I definitely don't. I want a more critical eye, but I also don't mind... it's hard, right? Because I think you can find whatever you want to find. This is this day and age in the media. If you want to find critical, you can find critical. Right. If you want to find fawning, you can listen to McAfee yesterday. Yeah. You can find that. They kind of get the benefit of both, right?
Yeah, I mean, they have a unique lane. McAfee has found this sort of special sauce where he's very interesting and very complimentary of players.
Definitely. And, you know, and doesn't really do like the follow-ups and stuff. But listen, kudos to him. He gets the big interviews. Guys feel comfortable coming in. LeBron James came into their studio and spent an hour with them. I mean, that's every sports show's dream. I want to get to one other beef, though. Yeah.
One thing, if you ask 100 NBA fans, which show do you like more, Inside the NBA or ESPN's NBA show, I would assume 99 won't like the Inside the NBA. And every fan I know, of course, it's hysterical. They're very funny, and they have the pedigree to talk about basketball. Are they lazy and too critical at times? Yes, but it's kind of part of the charm. I don't know. I just think that this whole idea that the media is too critical, it's not a good look for LeBron. Let it go. You're going to be in the media in 3 years probably doing the same thing, by the way.
He's already in. We got the podcast season two.
You're probably going to be, you know, I was wondering, he's doing an hour of McAfee. Is LeBron going to ESPN someday? And you don't think he's going to get up there and rip a player? That's how we do it.
He's an idiot and a fool.
Okay, so the other part of this was not just a media beef with Stephen A. Smith, which was a little more obvious, because they had it out courtside. But Brian Windhorst. So if you're into this kind of thing, Brian Windhorst went to the same high school as LeBron James and covered LeBron when he first got into the league. He's written a book about LeBron. And LeBron wanted to clear up. They are not friends. Here's LeBron.
I see a lot of too. Like, I seen Brian Windhorst on one of these shows not too long ago. Like,
Wendy.
You
guys played together in high school.
Says he's like my best friend. These guys are just weird.
Why would they do that?
Okay, and then LeBron, why is Wendy weird? Here's why.
He went on his show and said, you know, like, oh, don't let LeBron fool you. Like, he wears number 23 because of Michael Jordan. Okay, that's a fact. He signed with Nike because of Michael Jordan. It's like, no, I didn't. I signed with Nike because I got a hell of a signing bonus, and they gave me a 7-year, $90 million contract. And I moved my mom out of the hood the next day I signed that contract. Like, and ultimately, my whole thing is like, what do I want to wear off the court? It's like, I want to wear f***ing Nikes.
Why would they do that?
So...
feels like kind of a minor point to go after Wendy on.
Talking about getting a little too personal.
Why would they do that?
I was just a little surprised by this. Listen, if he wants to say Windhorst acts like he's my best friend and he's really not. Well, first of all, I don't think Brian Windhorst really acts like that. You know, he's never broken a big LeBron story despite having all this history.
Is that right?
He didn't break the biggest one because Lee Jenkins did.
No free agent signings he's broken. He
didn't break the decision. Yeah. He didn't break LeBron going from Heat to Cleveland. And I don't think he broke the L.A. one either. So, but I also don't want to, you know, I want to be fair to Windhorst here. Windhorst has taken this role and really run with it.
Yeah.
Like, he's all over the league now covering everybody. He's not just the LeBron whisperer anymore.
Well, right, because so Wendy's background, was he a Cavs reporter? And then he just covered LeBron in high school?
No, they went to the same high school.
Oh, they really did?
They did, because his mom worked at the school.
He was there when LeBron was there.
St. Vincent, St. Mary's, yeah.
He wasn't real on the team, was he?
No, that was a
Photoshop.
Yeah.
I actually didn't.
Which was also kind of mean.
Sorry, I didn't even know Wendy went to the same school. Yes. I thought he was a working reporter who was covering him.
No, he went to school with LeBron James. They might be the same year. They might have graduated the same year. If not, they're close.
Yeah, it's kind of like yourself and Kobe.
But did Wendy start covering LeBron back in 2004? So he was a very young reporter?
Yeah, I think he was working for like the Akron Beacon Journal or something.
Yeah, right on the money.
They go back all this way. And by the way, I do think that Wendy is talking to people in LeBron's circle. I don't think that it's maybe not LeBron, but he's obviously got some contacts in there. I mean, again, he wrote a whole book about LeBron, and it's a good book.
By the way, I think Wendy's, I'm seeing 7 years older than LeBron, so they might not have been in high school at the same time. Because Windhorst was definitely covering him as a rookie. He was already as a young reporter. Felt a little bit like LeBron was stuffing the nerd into the locker on this Windhorst thing. I got some bad, not that I have experience with that. I was definitely the one stuffed into the locker. I'm like, LeBron, it was a really fun interview. There's a lot of good vibes in that room. And then he said that thing about Wendy. I'm like, LeBron, why'd you just do that? I was starting to like you so much in this interview.
Well, Stephen A. makes an interesting point. I'm trying to find this clip, but I vaguely remember LeBron saying that no one knows me better in the league than Windhorst.
Did he really?
Yeah, Stephen A. said that, and I remember that when LeBron said that. I forgot where it came from. So that also made this weird. I was like, wait, didn't you say that? Because I was stunned. I always thought Windhorst really didn't know much about LeBron, and LeBron lobbied that.
Mm-hmm.
So then to come back now and say he's acting like he's my effing best friend seemed weird.
Maybe the book changed it. I think something happened. The book was definitely, I think it was a New York Times bestseller. That was where all the details came out about the meeting between LeBron and Pat Riley in Las Vegas, where LeBron kept Riley waiting. They were watching a World Cup game. He wouldn't give him the time of day. By the way, they confirmed that cookie story yesterday that Dwayne Wade told Pearl.
That
Riley ordered the code red to take away LeBron's cookies. Yeah.
Did he confirm that's why he left Miami?
No. Okay. But he did say he didn't like it.
He did say he when he saw Dwayne Wade didn't get paid, he's like, you know what? Maybe the cookies thing wasn't that big a deal.
Yeah, right.
Then I wanted to pay Dwayne Wade. Maybe I should have, maybe the cookie thing wasn't that bad.
Apparently, the stewardesses were making homemade cookies for him.
That's very nice.
Well.
Sounds delicious.
I know. And he was eating two, and then they'd get to the gambling, And then all of a sudden, one day, the stewardess has looked at him and said, sorry, no more cookies.
Yeah, I mean, if LeBron James says, hey, may you make me some cookies? I think anybody would say, yeah, sure, LeBron, I'll make you some cookies.
I don't think he has to ask. I think he drops that he likes cookies, and all of a sudden, cookie companies are just, like, flooding.
I, too, enjoy cookies.
You're not getting any cookies, man. Damn it.
We'll see. There's another part of this interview that we did not get to, but it was my favorite part. It lasted maybe 20 seconds, and nobody's talking about it.
Really?
But it is absolutely my favorite part of the whole interview. Get to that. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Could LeBron have played in any era? Let us know.
Hey, LeBron, we're pulling for your groin.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. That is my 14-year-old daughter's favorite song of all time, Teenage Dirtbag. So, Manny, you were probably in your prime when that came out. Actually, no, that's an older song. Anyway, Maggie, I know you were happy yesterday because of the LeBron James interview on the Pat McAfee Show, because he brought up a point that you and EJ also have been hammering home since we started the show, and you still have not convinced me.
Yes, this was one of the most validating, vindicating, all the words and all the positivity, because EJ and myself, we are NBA draft conspiracy theorists.
Yep.
And it turns out that LeBron James is one of us.
You know, during the lottery drop, Cleveland got the number one pick. Yeah. That's, I just don't think that was. Yeah.
Yeah,
just,
whoa, what are you? What are a coincidence. You don't you think
Wemby with the Spurs? Man, that like, was a coincidence.
Oh my God. Let's keep LeBron home. You know what? Patrick Ewing to the Knicks. You know, Derrick Rose to the Bulls. But I understand the assignment, guys. I'm, you know, so, you know, it's, I had to make sure that, you know, I had to do my part.
Salute. LeBron saying what everyone feels about this. It was
not
so
everyone.
On the nose.
Not
that
everyone.
The guy who grew up 30 minutes outside Akron. By the way, the whole like first 15 minutes of this interview is setting up how improbable it is that someone from Akron living in the projects would become one of the greatest basketball players of all time, right? And LeBron says this was his biggest motivation. I didn't want to be a screw-up. I didn't want to screw up my opportunity. This is how I've kept my nose clean for all these years, et cetera, et cetera. You don't think the league loved the fact that LeBron could save his hometown franchise? And even LeBron said the frozen envelope, Derrick Rose to Chicago to be post-Michael, Wemby to the Spurs because of, you know, Greg Popovich's ability and success with foreign players. It's all there, Pearl.
I think you're doing Monday morning quarterback. I think you're looking back at every situation and saying, so if it's so all there, we have, let's say Cooper Flagg goes pro.
Yeah.
And this is the assignment. These are the top 8 teams in the lottery. You have Utah, Washington, Charlotte, New Orleans, Philadelphia, Brooklyn, Toronto, Miami. If it's so obvious, then which of those teams is the NBA routing Cooper Flagg to? I know that you're going to say after it happened, oh, of course the NBA did that. You should be able to predict it in advance then.
Okay, so I do have a prediction for this, and okay. I do think I know exactly where he's going to be going. Because I think that they need to resurrect the D.C. market.
Bah! Resurrect? It was never alive.
Well, I'm just saying.
Resurrect means that anybody's ever given two hoots about Washington basketball.
They got John Wall. I mean, I just think that, and they have really not had a lot of success since. The Gilbert Arenas thing, he was not their draft pick, and that ended up being good until it wasn't good, until it was really bad.
What happened?
Yeah, I've got a couple articles I can send you. I think the D.C. thing is due.
Okay, but all right, maybe that happens. But you can't possibly say that if DC wins the lottery, if the Wizards win the lottery, everyone's gonna be like, "Oh, of course the Wizards win the lottery," because it's just a random choice out of those teams.
Okay,
Daniels. That's not Derrick Rose to the Bulls. That's completely and totally random to me.
So this is where my theory comes from, and not just the frozen envelope and all that stuff. So I was lucky enough to work for the NBA when I got out of college, and I worked for NBA TV, and I saw up close and personal, I know, flex, I saw up close and personal what a billion-dollar business it is, right? Multi-billion dollars. I'm sitting there working amongst it, very low on the totem pole,
yeah.
But I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking, huh, I'm one of 1,000 people who are working for this corporation, conservatively, all across the country and across mm-hmm. the world. There's so much at stake in where these massive prospects go. And you're telling me they're really leaving that up to ping pong balls. Like, everyone here who I'm sitting with, all these people who are employed, this is the league. It's going up to ping pong balls. I just can't believe it.
So you think when they bring Chris Mannix into the room where they do this and all,
I worked in that building.
It's all fake. All the reporters who've actually witnessed it, it's all just a hoax.
They witness a version of it. They don't actually witness the actual ping pong balls.
This sounds like a version of the moon landing kind of thing.
No, I'm not. This is sports conspiracies. I'm not taking it to JFK and the moon landing and all that stuff. I'm just saying.
I think that Patrick Ewing and the frozen envelope is right there with the moon landing. I think you can compare those.
Stakes are a little lower, but yeah.
You just described the NBA as way so important with these 1,000 employees.
All right, sorry. Okay, stakes are the same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the moon. We see the moon every day. We don't see Patrick Ewing going to the Knicks every day. He's right there.
Big East, the MSG. Come on, that was very important.
Like Shaq said,
I'll give you JFK's higher on the ranking, but not the moon landing.
We see the moon every day.
Like Shaq says, I see the moon up there. It would take me less time to get to the moon than it would to California.
That's rough.
But anyway. I just think that, like we had this discussion the other day, and like EJ's like, well, of course Atlanta won the lottery the year that Ricochet was.
I'm not giving you an answer for every single scenario.
It was a good one, because it was a bad draft.
Right, so give it to the team that never had one. There's your story.
But then you're just making up random facts. If somebody else had won, then they could have been that.
Random facts. These are you're
speaking. So, okay.
Well, they're not facts.
These are well thought out theories.
So EJ, and be honest. Before that lottery, did you say, well, this is, it's kind of a weak draft. This is clearly the Hawks' time.
No, I'm one of those folks who feel like when it's one of those drafts where they're not a clear story, I don't think the NBA cares as much.
Oh, so, wait, but you just said they cared about Atlanta.
No, I'm saying, no, but there's a story there. I'm saying that there's nothing to obviously grasp at. There are a bunch of French guys. There's not a local act. There's not an obvious star.
Okay, so
how do we drum up something interesting about this? Well, you got a guy who never played, a team that never got the number one pick. All right, there's a story.
Maybe when there's not a player that they need to route somewhere, they just let the ping pong balls fly.
Yes, I think that's more likely than anything else. I do think that when Zion got that, come on, that was obvious.
Why? Because New York just lost
Anthony Davis.
Wait, but New York was right there, EJ.
No, I know, but do you think Adam Silver is going to give James Dolan and the beef they've had, he's going to give them the best prospect for 20 years? No chance.
Also, the weird thing is about the Knicks is that they don't actually, ever since Ewing, they actually don't need this.
Right.
The Knicks have the highest ratings, ticket sales, all that stuff,
when
the team sucks.
It doesn't matter.
I also think there's part with ownership, right? So I think, the Benson's, had taken over the team, and kind of stepped up, I guess, when other people, remember the league had to take over the Hornets at one point and the franchise in New Orleans at that point. That's why I thought when Michael Jordan sold, I actually thought they'd give the number one pick to the Hornets, but they didn't end up doing that. So I was wrong on one of my theories. But anyway, the bottom line is LeBron's one of us.
Still ended up with a hell of a player.
The New Orleans gets the number one pick both times their stars ask out.
Yeah,
come on.
We know the NBA. They say we got to get the stars to San Antonio and New Orleans and Orlando.
They do.
Okay. Why? You could make the argument there's 7 other teams they could have given it to. So tell me, EJ and Maggie, Maggie's going on the record with Washington.
Yep.
Who are you agreeing with?
I've been saying Philly Philly, Brooklyn, or Utah are my teams.
So it's so obvious it could be one of 4 teams.
Right. It's not. Yeah. No, of course.
Well, honestly, I look at this and I think the way the NBA works, it definitely could be one of these 14 teams. Because it's ping pong balls.
Okay, but here's the thing, right? They flatten the lottery odds and teams are still tanking.
Yes,
right?
Sir.
I mean, teams are not discouraged by the fact that they have a 4% chance because they realize there's more factors at play.
No, I think I think the Sixers are tanking because they flattened the lottery odds and they said, ooh, we got a good chance. If we get to 5, we could move up to number 1.
Maybe you do. Maybe you do. Or
but
maybe,
that's just the odds. That's not.
But there is
maybe
a conspiracy.
It's preordained.
But there is a impetus to want to have stars in small markets. And David Stern talked about that all the time, in order to make those markets viable, you need star players. So this
but
idea
the
that,
original
oh,
theory is Patrick Ewing went to New York.
But right, that was in 85.
That was 85, and that was a different time. I mean, again, the NBA has long been, that's why you think they've changed all the rules to try to incentivize guys re-signing with their original teams, because they want guys to stay on these teams. They want guys to stay in smaller markets.
But it seems like you guys have a theory to fit any picks. Derrick Rose, hometown guy in Chicago, Chicago, big, huge market. It just feels a little convenient that you could always find a reason. Like, oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, that means they're doing it well.
This is how conspiracy theorists.
Yeah. That means the NBA's doing it well. Yeah.
You're like, yeah.
They're doing it better than anyone.
I don't know. It just seems like it's also possible. It's possible that it's random luck.
It's on the table. I don't know if that's the lead.
It's on the table.
Yeah, I mean, they do have like Price Waterhouse sitting there, but you know.
Those people, La La Land, sure. How much are you trusting Price Waterhouse?
And by the way, is it a surprise that LeBron, king of the millennials, thinks that this is a theory? This is your generation. You guys think this is all...
It should be your generation.
All fixed. No.
Which generation are you in?
I'm Gen X. We think this is all, none of it matters. We're slackers.
A hogwash.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. No, we don't even, we're like, we don't even care if it's fixed. Where you guys are like, this is all, yeah, you guys think everything's a conspiracy, kind of. You're right. I'm not saying you're wrong.
You guys aren't from the same generation?
We are not.
I'm Ben Stiller and Ethan Hawke.
You hear his disdain for movie sequel comedy. So you hear Maggie's joy. I think that kind of made it clear the generational
gap there.
There are not other millennials who like comedy sequels. This is a Maggie Gray special.
Comedies particularly, yeah.
I tried to get EJ on board. Although, EJ, when you were doing some research about Caddyshack 2, did you not find that funny clip with Randy Quaid?
There were some funny clips.
And I was like, can you tell Gordon Damer was here yesterday? Can you tell his reaction to Caddyshack 2?
I asked him the question if it was good, and he said no. Immediately. No hesitation. Nice and short. Yeah.
I mean, you know, listen, that's his opinion, bro.
It's the worst movie of all time.
Oh, I can find worse.
No, you can't.
I can.
You can't.
The only movie I ever left during was a movie called Road to Wellville. That movie was worse than Caddyshack
2. I haven't heard about that movie.
It sounds familiar. Who's in that?
Actually, it's one of those movies that has like a lot of famous people, like in an ensemble cast, and it's like about like maybe like the 1920s like weird wellness center, and it's just terrible.
It's like One Flew of the Cuckoo's Nest?
No. More like rich people retreat, like trying to... That's what's called The Road to Wellville.
Like the Roaring Twenties? Yeah, okay.
Have you seen the movie Legend of Chun-Li, Street Fighter? That movie is the worst movie I've ever seen.
No, but I love playing with Chun-Li in Street Fighter.
That is way more fun. Awesome. Way more fun than watching the movie with Kristen Kruick.
It was awful. One small point. One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest was not a wellness retreat.
No,
it was a psych ward. I get that.
It was not a millennial.
That's what the chief was talking about. Yeah.
Did you miss my Bill Burr thing? Are you?
What's that?
He was talking about how bad sequels are, and he made up all these sequels and pitched them to Hollywood, including a sequel to One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest called Two Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, starring Chief Bromden.
Yeah, can they bring back McMurphy after he's had a lobotomy?
Yeah, that was the plot.
That's a whole other conversation we should have, which is just the worst movie of all time. That's not our movie sequels bracket. We're trying to find the best sequel of all time.
But there are some nominees in there.
Well, Revenge of the Nerds 2 wasn't exactly
that did not get
cinematic.
Oscar buzz.
Bogish, stick around, will you? We'll get to some headlines in a moment because we blew that. Lots more to do, including your phone calls at 888-710-4ISN. Two questions for you. One, could LeBron James have been this successful in any era? Two, who's the week one starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns? Call it now. M&P.
So forget about it, cuz.
Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff, Toto.
Yeah, I was going to say, we're having a deep music conversation in the break about the greatest artists of all time, Jay-Z, Janis Joplin, and then we get to Toto.
Great karaoke song.
I was not a part of that conversation.
Andrew Bogish has headlines for us. We are asking a couple questions for you today. One, LeBron claims he can play in any era. Do you agree with him? And secondly, who is the day one starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns? Got any guesses? We'll take them at 888-710-4ISN. Who is that about?
Oh, Maggie, you do not want to know.
Here, I'll show it to you, Maggie.
Jeez, I'm off for 1.5 days kicking my brains out because I got some kind of norovirus and the show went totally off the rails.
Well,
that I was here for.
This is going to sound bad.
What happened? Just come clean.
Before Bogey says it, Andrea saw three things yesterday and was like, so, this is what you guys do when Maggie's not there.
Yeah, it felt a lot like, but actually, Andrea doesn't know. Maggie would have been right in on this conversation.
Which is what I tried to tell her.
I know, I'm as immature as anybody, but what were you guys talking about?
Boobs. I got this text in the show prep thread on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
This
is that Sydney Sweeney?
It is.
Yes. Okay.
but it popped up on my watch while I was sitting with stranger parents at a swim meet on Tuesday. So I wasn't sure how judged I was being.
Extremely. But also the way your watch framed it is it did not show her entire
chest.
Face.
Yeah.
So you had no idea who the...
I knew. I had done my research beforehand. I knew who they belonged
you
to.
You can spot her just by the...
Yeah. So the watch... The I didn't know it was going to go through to your watch. The story was Sydney Sweeney...
I got to fix that.
Sydney Sweeney erased a picture of her fiancé on her Instagram feed.
Why? They're breaking up?
Well, that's what Manny hopes.
That's...
So I texted good news Manny... And the shot was revealing. Barstool Sports put it out there.
Wait, hold on, Maggie. Here's the kicker, though. I was not in that group chat.
Nope.
Were you in Signal?
No, I was not a part. I was not a part of the group chat. Perloff created a group chat, had an article with a link, literally, and texted for Manny, and Manny was not a part of the group chat.
What are you running the Department of Defense?
You write for the Atlantic?
You're about as skilled at this as the guys in our government.
Maggie, you consider that newsworthy enough to make...
I wouldn't have batted an eyelash. I probably would have responded like, all right, we need a Manny makeover.
That's what I said.
I batted every eyelash.
You can't stare and bat an eyelash at the same time.
His response yesterday, Maggie, was, I'd change her life.
I would in an instant.
But would you accept that as a woman?
Change it in a terrible way.
Because she's not going enough of Archbishop Stepanak game?
Hey,
she doesn't care enough about who's the next Iona.
She's not going to watch a Knicks replay after just watching the Knicks game?
Listen, we had Coach Cal sitting baseline at those Stepanak games and the guy from the Bronx Tale, okay? So we have some stars.
Which means nothing to her.
We have stars coming out in White Plains, okay?
I'm sure you could change her life.
Oh,
would it be for the better?
Come on. Maybe. Who knows? Let's find out. What do you say? Who says no?
You know,
her.
I got in this discussion yesterday. Do you really want to date Sydney Sweeney? Because I think Bogus, you might have said that she'd always be nervous when she's on a movie set with some
hunks. No matter what. So
yeah, her fiance, I don't know what, does he walk around like he's the coolest guy in the world because she likes him, or is he just petrified constantly?
I would walk around.
Oh, that someone's got a poacher.
Yeah.
I would walk around like I got a 24-inch gold chain on my neck. Are you kidding me?
I thought you were about to say something else, and I was like, don't do it. Now that had made the group text.
What do you guys mean?
24 inches.
I was like, jeez, man.
Cuban link. Greedy.
Cuban link.
24 inches.
Cuban link chain.
You mean centimeters?
I don't want to even go to the metric system. We're not doing that today.
What the hell is a centimeter?
Would you constantly be nervous that someone bigger... Well, listen, I mean, you're not going to ever land someone like Sydney Sweeney unless you have a little bit of confidence to begin with. So I'm not saying you have to be like... You don't want to be a braggadocious, you know, jerk. That's going to probably turn her off. But you got to have a little bit of confidence in yourself if you're going to nab Sydney Sweeney.
But when she comes home and says, honey, I'm going to be in this rom-com with Glenn Powell.
For 3 months in Hawaii.
And he's not allowed to wear a shirt for the entire thing.
Yeah,
why do you think the fiance is gone? That's exactly what happened.
Sounds good, honey. I'll watch Jalen Brunson highlights without my shirt.
Manny,
you could live with it.
Oh, come on.
It's like, why is the Sultan of Brunei on line two? Huh. Well, yeah. Yeah, probably. And listen, Jennifer Aniston.
Mm-hmm.
Look what happened. Brad Pitt and Angelina. Sometimes it's like men, you know, if you're going to be with somebody and they're going to cheat on you anyway, then that person wasn't right for you to be with.
Not Manny.
No, I actually had the same thought.
We know you'd be loyal.
Because I imagine shooting a movie like that, you're close all the time.
I think it happens all the time. Like on-set romances.
That's terrible, though. If I ever become a movie star after my performance in Hustle,
sure,
I'm going to bring my wife and kids onto the set. Actually, I don't even think I need to.
I remember Amy Pascal, the head of Sony, told Zendaya and Tom Holland, you guys will fall in love. Because every person that plays Peter and MJ has fallen in love.
Wait, so Tobey Maguire dated Kirsten Dunst?
Yeah.
And then, of course, Garfield and Emma Stone, who she played Gwen Stacy. But... They
is that right?
Yeah. So she said that, trust me, guys, you guys are going to fall in love because this is what happens, so just be ready. And they were like, no way. And, of course, now they're engaged.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Andrew Garfield and Emma Stone were a couple?
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
I remember that.
They tried to keep that very quiet, but it was impossible.
And now he's dating the woman from the Bob Dylan movie.
Yes.
That's a new power couple.
Yeah. Oh, you mean the woman who played Joan Baez?
Yeah.
All right, back She's to Manny's cute. Makeover for a second.
And not Bogus's update.
No, it doesn't matter.
We'd need like a... Aladdin Three Wishes level makeover here. But I think that would do it.
That feels mean.
Yeah, that was below the belt.
You're talking about Sydney Sweeney. If
mm-hmm.
Oh, now I'm the jerk.
I got faith in Manny.
Oh, that's nice. I don't have faith in myself.
See, the first wish is a little confidence.
I think Manny's got the looks and everything. It's his personality that's the problem.
No,
we can work on that.
His personality is great.
Oh, yeah, the Knicks are the problem.
I am such a humor.
His personality is great for us. It's not great to land a Sydney Sweeney.
I am a joy to be around.
I think you are.
Unless she happens to be in his living room watching a Knicks game with him, this is not going to work. He needs a total personality.
Well, she's a Knicks assistant coach. I don't think that might be.
Does she come with a whiteboard?
Yeah, she's been grinding tape with Tibbs overnight.
Let's set elevator screens in the corner, girl.
Man,
if Sydney Sweeney's walking around here, but she's doing an appearance, what's your opening line to Sydney Sweeney?
I can change your life.
Go back to that 24-inch thing you might have on it. Maybe. And I'm no guarantees.
My name is Andrew Bogish.
Yeah, sorry, Andrea.
Honey, give me a call, girl. 888-710-4ISN.
Wow, you gave her the bat line number. She only has to wait behind Sean in Oregon and Big Dave in
Kentucky. Andrea, I'll give her the hotline number.
She better weigh in on LeBron in the 80s. I want to hear her opinion.